Welcome back to 32 Fans in 32 Days. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, how's it going?
It's going so great. Everything I wanted to happen for the Jets happened. You know, is happening. Eighth of the way to 0-16. That's all I ever wanted. I was literally just in the bathroom before. I was like dreaming about Sam Darnold.
Yeah, we don't need to hear what you dream about when you're in the bathroom.
I was like, oh man, it'll be so great when Sam Darnold's on the team next year.
So Sam Darnold, that's what gets you going. All right.
I'm so excited for him.
I'm the opposite.
Why are you down? Like, your team is good. They're just, you know, right now the quarterback's not healthy, but he'll be healthy in a couple weeks.
Right now, it's exactly the same as how I felt last year when Teddy went down, except now we don't even have – there's no first-round pick to waste on some, you know, mediocre replacement. I mean, we saw – the difference between Sam Bradford and Case Keenum is the difference between, like, I don't know, Peyton Manning and Sam Bradford. It's just so enormous, the gulf, mm-hmm. right? Bradford is a competent NFL quarterback who has the potential to be very good. You know, she can show glimpses of that. Case Keenum's ceiling is that he's a bad third-string quarterback, you know?
Yeah.
Well, other than that random three-game sampling in Houston at the beginning of his career.
Yeah, but. No, he stinks, but it's your fault for not getting, you know.
Kaepernick?
You should have Kaepernick.
It's crazy. I've, you know, been upset at the NFL owners for the Kaepernick thing, but, you know, whatever. I don't really have a horse in the race. Now I do, of course. And even the local hot take artist columnist in the Minneapolis Star Tribune, Jim Suhan, he wrote an article today saying how, you know, it was malpractice that the Vikings didn't add Kaepernick. And this is a hot take artist who'd always be on the other side of those issues. It's actually funny because I waded into the comments, which is obviously a mistake. And I saw all of like Suhan's old fans turning on him.
Yeah.
But he's absolutely right. Like, this is a team that, you know, 2 years in a row has been felled by an injured quarterback. And like, we don't even know with Bradford. Like, it went from like he was totally fine on Wednesday to he was out on Sunday. And now he might be playing next week, or he might be out for 6 weeks, or he might never play again, or maybe he doesn't have any legs anymore.
Doesn't sound like he's going to play next week.
It's not good.
Right. Someone made the point that he's been injured so much he doesn't even know when he's injured, which is why, like, he was telling everyone.
Yeah, there was so much scar tissue on his knees that you couldn't see it in the MRI.
He was telling, like, the media people that Saturday night that he was playing.
Yeah, because I still don't know.
And he couldn't walk on Sunday, apparently.
Well, he has a bone bruise, which is the same thing Miguel Sano has had. And Miguel Sano was supposed to be back pinch hitting, like, 2 weeks ago. And now they say he might not even play again this year. So, bad news in Minnesota. A lot of bones being bruised.
Yeah. So I think, we're going to do a draft at the beginning of every single NFL, you know, regular season podcast. And this week is no different. Last week we did a truly beloved 1994 fantasy football NFL draft from memory. We just had to guess who was good. You won that draft pretty easily. And we didn't bet for money, but if people remember the first year of the podcast, we did like $5 or $10 bets every week. So I don't know if you still have that chart.
Yeah, it was. So I do have the chart. What happened is we said somebody would only have to pay out if they got to plus 10, which was going to be unlikely.
Plus 100.
But then
plus
we made 100. They'd be plus 10 in the number of bets. Yeah, so plus 100 in the winnings. Mm-hmm. I was plus $10, one bet up on you, and then we made a $50 bet, and so I won that one. So I was actually up to plus 60. Uh-huh. But then I never got any further.
So you're at plus 60. All right, so we'll bet $5 right now. And
what are we betting on?
Okay, this week's draft is WNBA Finals Fantasy Draft.
Oh, you're putting me in a good mood. The only winning team in Minnesota, and by the way, the greatest team in American team sports in the last, what, 20 years, 30 years?
What,
since the late 90s Yankees. Yeah. Oh, they're much more a dynasty than the Patriots are.
How many years have they won in a row? They didn't win last year. They lost to the Sparks, right?
Well, yeah, because the bullshit call, if you remember, at the very end of Game 5 of the Finals.
That's all I think about. Of course I remember.
Yeah, it was a complete bullshit call, and it cost them what, a third title in 4 years. So now it'll be a three titles in 5 years, I think. But yeah, I'm all in on the Lynx.
Okay.
That's all I have.
So we're each going to...
Well, I have the Twins. I have the Twins limping their way to the second wild card. They're going to play in New York, and I'm not even going to know who won that game for 12 hours because I'm going to be stuck on an international flight.
Yeah, you accidentally booked a flight during that game. That was a bad move by you.
To be fair, it's not accidental. The Twins' chances to make the playoffs the day I booked the flight was 9% or 10% or something like that.
Yeah, you still got a sort of... I would kill for a 9%.
I didn't expect them after the trade deadline, after they gave away a starting pitcher and their closer, to all of a sudden go on a crazy run.
Yeah.
The team's OPS, the whole team is batting, has an OPS of 900 since the All-Star break.
It's pretty good.
And they're also the youngest. They have the youngest lineup in baseball. So they have no pitching, but hitting looks good. Yeah.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're each going to pick a team of five players. It's points only. There's only two teams. Do you want first pick or next two?
I'll give you the first pick because I have all my Lynx knowledge, so I have an unfair advantage here.
Okay. Have you watched any WNBA games this year, by the way?
Have I watched a game? No. Do I check the box scores to make sure the Lynx win every day?
Oh, yes. You do. You check every day. Wow.
Well, not every day. Well, so here's the thing. So the Lynx were sort of like the Dodgers this year, where they look like they might set the record for like the greatest regular season team ever. Mm-hmm. And then like the Dodgers, they went in a second half swoon and they almost actually lost the one seed. And then they sort of like the Dodgers are doing actually. And then they did hold off and hold on to it. So, you know, I have watched WNBA finals games before, and I quite likely will this year as well. A whole game, no. But, you know, I'll tune in the fourth quarter if it's close.
Okay.
The caliber of the basketball, by the way, is like, you know, at least in the finals, is good caliber basketball.
Yeah. No, I like women's college basketball. I'm not a WNBA guy normally, but I do like women's. And I'm a women's sports fan, but I do like...
But the women's game in college, it's hard to find competition because UConn is so head and shoulders above everybody else.
Yeah, but I'm a UConn fan, so that doesn't really bother me so much. It's fun to like see.
But watching them win 60... Well, the Lynx had a game like that this year where they were winning 52-9, I think was the score, right? At a certain point,
yeah. UConn is this year is going to be like the best team they ever had. Also, like they have like, you know, all Americans who have to like transfer because they can't even be like the 12th man or woman. Okay. So I have the first pick. I'm going to go from the Los Angeles Sparks. I'm going to go with Candace Parker, who cannot even make she's probably the best player in the world, but for some reason. Not on the American national team.
Best player in the world. She's not even the best player on her own team.
No, a lot of people think she is.
Yeah, that's a strange pick. A strange pick because the Lynx have the reigning WNBA MVP. So I'm obviously going to go with Sylvia Fowles. And then I get another pick also, right?
Yeah, you get two picks.
All right. Should I take another Lynx? 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 What's the singular of Lynx?
Or, I don't know.
Or should I take the other good player? On you know what?
What's the singular? No, you have to be able to pronounce it if you want to pick the other.
That's
good player
probably the other good player on the Sparks is Nneka Ogwumike. How close is
it? Nneka Ogwumike.
Nneka Ogwumike.
She went to Stanford, right?
I don't know. I only know the Lynx. I don't know the rest of the league.
She's like one of the best players in the league, and she wasn't like that big of a deal in college.
All right, you know what? I'll just take Maya Moore because I know how to pronounce that.
Okay, so I got Nneka Ogwumike.
Yeah, obviously. So basically, Sweet. You're taking the Lynx, and you're taking the Sparks, and taking the Lynx.
Well, let's see. Let's see if I continue this. Yeah, and I'm going to take a third Lynx, Chelsea Gray.
A third Spark.
15 points a game.
A third Spark.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to take Simeon Augustus, obviously. And we really do have a 3-3. And then I'm going to steal a player from your team, Odyssey Sims, who was actually second on the team in scoring in their conference, in their semifinal round.
What college did Odyssey Sims go to?
I have no idea.
Baylor. She went to Baylor. See, I'm a diehard college basketball player.
There's also only like four relevant women's basketball programs.
True.
So, yeah.
I'm going to go with Rebecca Brunson from the Lynx.
Yeah.
And now I have to decide between UConn's own Renee Montgomery or Janelle. I'm going to go with Renee Montgomery.
Okay.
Wait, hold on. Let me see who did better in the play.
This is riveting radio podcast.
Riveting. I'm going to go with Renee Montgomery.
Okay. And I will take Lindsay Whalen. She doesn't really score, but you know, she's the point guard. She's the
straw that stirs the drink.
Well, yeah, but she was injured in the second half is when the Lynx went into their little bit of a swoon. You saw how I said wild, by the way. They hold the same place in my heart as sort of the secondary Minnesota teams. Lindsay Whalen, by the way, that Gophers women's team, that was the year that the women, I think, had the one seed in the women's tournament. And I watched all of their games in the tournament that year. That was very exciting. Or maybe they were a 7 seed. They just went to the Final Four. I forget. What was it?
I don't know.
Do you remember? Whatever. When Lindsay Whalen was at Minnesota, the Gophers women's team had one good year. So, all right. So I have four Lynx and one Spark. You have, I think, the reverse. And whoever scores more points in the finals wins.
Yeah. Did you write down who at who, though?
Yeah, I wrote it down here.
Okay. Also, the Sparks don't have a UConn player. I think the only team in the WNBA not to have a player from UConn.
Maya Moore didn't go to UConn?
No, the Sparks, I said, don't have a UConn player. The Lynx have Maya and Renee Montgomery.
Yeah. Oh, really? So you're rooting against your own? All right, whatever. Okay,
well,
that's enough
care.
WNBA
once they make it to the big leagues, they're on their own, you know? I don't still.
Okay, let's so you don't still follow like Ray Allen and you know.
Well, I don't have a team in the WNBA. Also, I do. I follow, but UConn has very few guys in the league right now. Also,
well, Connecticut Sun. What happened to them?
They're in the WNBA. They're just not very good.
Oh, and you're a fair weather fan, of course. Yeah, you only like the Spurs.
No, I don't. I mean, I'm not from Connecticut. Like, I don't root for all Connecticut teams. Why would I root for the Connecticut Sun? It doesn't make any sense. Shouldn't I root for the New York Liberty?
Well, why do you root for all the UConn teams?
Because I had a lot of family went to UConn and used to buy me UConn stuff when I was a little kid. And they had, Daron Sheffer and and they had, Nadav Henefield and Daron Sheffer. So I've been a UConn fan since
But what I'm saying is you have a reason to root for the UConn men's basketball team. But why do you root for the UConn women's team and the UConn college football team? And the reason because if they're all bound up in one program, the Connecticut Sun.
Part of that program.
But essentially it was. They're the only reason that team
teams
is.
Are part of a university. Connecticut Sun play in but
the only reason the Connecticut Sun were created was because of the fact that UConn women's basketball team was there.
Yeah, and that's nothing to do with me, though. Yeah. I mean, that's their problem.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Let's turn to week three. The Case Keenum Redux, probably. Ugh, terrible. Well, what should we do here? I ranked the games from best to worst this week. There's no great games.
So, yeah, let's start from worst, but let's do it. Well, actually, I've got a Harold Rosengarten told me about a game, and I was wondering if you want to play it this week, and then maybe we could do quick picks for week three. Him and Amir people know Amir from maybe the Seinfeld podcast, play a game where Harold, and I could be mixing up who does who, Harold gets to pick six teams at the beginning of the year. And, you know, saying that one of those six teams will win the championship, and Amir gets the other 26. Yeah. So do you want to play six versus 26?
So last year, obviously, the Falcons would have been in the 26. But then, of course, the Patriots were in the six.
Right. The Falcons would have been the 26 last year, although you may have heard they did not win, so you would have lost. But do you want the six or the 26?
Well, so here's the thing. You have to set the so I would take the six. What would you take? If I gave you the choice, what would you take?
I would take the six.
Yeah. So in other words, we have to auction it. So what about five? Would you take five or 27?
Okay. Good question.
At that point, I think the over-under is 5.5.
I would take 5. Yeah, I'll take 5.
Okay, so I'll give you 5 and I'll take 27.
Beautiful. Okay, and this is another $5 bet. Okay.
Okay.
Five teams right now. New England Patriots, Green Bay Packers, Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
Now it gets tough. To me, those are the three obvious teams. And by the way, my thesis for the NFL this season, after 2 weeks, is that this is the top-heaviest and bottom-heaviest the league has been in a long time. There are no... There's no middle. The middle is a couple teams in the AFC South and maybe the Dolphins or the Bills. There's no middle in the whole NFL. It's crazy. So my other two teams, I really didn't like what I saw at Dallas yesterday. And, you know, you hate what you see out of Seattle every week. I don't know. This is tough. I'm going to go with the Denver Broncos.
Wow, in your top five all of a sudden.
In my top five. And... the Oakland Raiders.
Oakland, you were all really down on Oakland in the preseason, so you've been converted. All right.
Yeah, but I feel like their ceiling, I still don't love them, but I feel like their ceiling is higher than some of the other. The two other teams I thought about, I mean, I thought about Seattle, but that offensive line can't win a Super Bowl. So the other two teams I really considered were Kansas City and Tampa Bay.
All right, so Atlanta, who's number one in my power rankings through 2 weeks, not even a thought for you.
No, I don't think they're going to win it. They did beat the Packers, who were missing both their tackles. To me, people like ESPN today, when I went on ESPN.com, the headline was, Falcons have exercised the deep. No, they haven't. The Falcons literally cannot exercise last year until they win the Super Bowl. And even if they win the Super Bowl, it will haunt them for the rest of their life.
And didn't they beat the Packers twice last year in the regular season and the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not saying the Falcons are bad, but they're not.
No, what I'm saying is, to say they exercise the demons by beating a team they've already beaten twice.
Right. Oh, yeah. It's bananas. They could go 16-0. They still haven't exercised a thing. They need to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So that's a bad take, obviously. All right. So I'm going to get the field. So I'm getting Atlanta. I'm getting Kansas City. I'm getting Seattle. I'm getting Dallas. I'm getting
Tampa and Tennessee, the trendy teams.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. Well, we'll see. Well, I mean, it's frustrating
because Vikings,
I was really
excited.
Yeah, I was really excited to see the Vikings in Pittsburgh. And then I was really excited to see the Vikings this week beat down Tampa, who everybody's overhyping because they beat the crappy Bears at home. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as long as Case Keenum's involved, there's no chance. So,
right. But if you could float, if, like, let's say he misses two more weeks and you manage to win one of them, who do you play the next 2 weeks?
Wait, so you say we managed to beat Tampa with Case Keenum?
Yeah, if Minnesota gets the 2-2 with Case Keenum and then Bradford comes back, they're still okay.
Well, okay, so we're playing Tampa this week at home. It's just the offense could do literally nothing with that.
I don't think you'd beat Tampa with Case Keenum. And who's then the next backup? Week the Bears. It's like literally a guy you just signed from the practice squad, right?
It's the guy from the Broncos. Yeah, it's the guy they paid $20,000 to be on their practice squad.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's not good. It's criminal that they don't sign Kaepernick. Just, you know, you can't say that Kaepernick doesn't give you a better chance to win than Case Keenum.
No, you can't.
And don't give me bullshit about how they like run the offense.
Right, you're the first team that lost your QB. I mean, I guess Miami too. Miami was the only team that had like a legitimate reason for not signing Kaepernick.
Well, what's the legitimate reason?
I wouldn't say legitimate, but like they had a concern
because he wore a shirt with.
I don't know. I mean, they had a concern that went beyond the other 31 teams' concern, which is like being pro Castro is just like such a deal breaker in South Florida.
Because of the Cuban community, yeah. Well, I mean, okay.
But, I mean, listen, they still should have signed him. They didn't have any...
He's not pro-Castro, but...
They didn't have any fans...
He had worn a T-shirt with Che on it. What he actually did is he wore a T-shirt with Che on it.
Is that all he did?
I think that's the extent of his... Now, it's always been a pet peeve of mine, the embrace of Che Guevara as sort of a cool
icon. Well, but the dirtbag
icon
is definitely pro-Castro. Like the Chapo crowd.
But I'm not... But I'm talking like Che. It's always been cool to wear like Che t-shirts.
Right.
Like
Che Guevara that you necessarily identify.
But what I'm saying is Che Guevara was a mass murderer. Like he was in charge of a prison where it murdered like 2,000 mm-hmm. innocent people in Cuba. Like he's a scumbag. I don't care. Okay, the guys on the other side were just as bad. But
you're both sides in Che Guevara.
Now I sound like a. No, Che Guevara is a terrible terrorist, and he's burning in hell. He's an awful human being. Okay, he fought bad guys. That doesn't make him a good guy. Stalin and Hitler fought each other. That doesn't mean one of them is good, right? Anyways, off my high horse. So the Dolphins went with Cutler, whatever. I'd rather have Cutler than Case Keenum. What about Tony Romo? Why doesn't he come out of retirement and come play for the Vikings?
Yeah. Yeah, it's too bad he's like really doing well, because if he had bad first 2 weeks, I bet he would go to Minnesota. That's a good spot for him.
Yeah, the Broncos don't need him anymore. Trevor Siemian looks really good.
I mean, if he saw Sam Bradford go like 28 for 30, like he must imagine like he's going to go 31 for 30 with that offense.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Bradford's is the most accurate quarterback in NFL history, of course. So.
Yeah, but that's really a lot of that's like started last year. He wasn't always, you know, at 68% with the Rams. Okay. All right. So, what's the worst game this week?
Well, usually the worst game is whoever your Jets are playing, but this week there's even a worse game. It's Cleveland as a favorite on the road at Indianapolis.
Yeah. It's funny because there's another game that's just absolutely abominable this week besides the Jet game and besides that game. But, I don't care who wins. Could we just not pick this game? Who cares?
So last
I almost
week,
beat you and picked the spread, by the way.
Yeah, so I had a horrible, horrible week and picked the spread. I think one of the worst weeks I've ever had. I did edge by you, but a sale and Bill both blew me out of the water. I'll post that on the Facebook group in a little bit, like I did last week. In picking winners and losers, as a reminder, in week one, I beat you by one. Last week, we had four disagreements. So last week, we actually tied. We split our four disagreements, so we tied in week two. You want to actually not pick this game, Cleveland at Indy.
Yeah, I don't think we should pick it. I think it's too bad to pick.
No, we got to pick every game.
Okay, yeah, well, I thought that Cleveland would be favored, but Indy's favored?
No, Cleveland's favored.
Or the opposite, sorry.
We all thought Indy would be favored. They're at home. Cleveland, I would guess Cleveland has not been favored on the road since they came back into the league in 99.
Well,
that would be my guess.
Is this Hogan versus Brissett? Like, is Kaiser out?
If Kaiser's out, then how is Cleveland favored? It's bonkers.
Right, yeah. No. If Kaiser's out, I think the Colts actually win this game.
By the way, the Colts go to overtime against Arizona. Or what? Like, how big of an indictment is that against Arizona?
Oh, Arizona should actually be disbanded, I think.
Yeah, your lock of the week was Arizona to cover 8.5. And they couldn't even do that against...
Mm-hmm. I mean, what is a migraine? I've never heard of a quarterback having a migraine before.
Well, Percy Harvin had them all the time, you remember.
Right. I guess, like, people have them and it's just, like, they never go away. It's not a great sign. Yeah, I'm going to pick the Colts to win. If Kaiser comes back and is healthy, I would pick the Browns, though.
All right, so we're both picking the Colts. Okay, so we don't have disagreement there. We agree it's a terrible game. We will not watch it. All right, the Dolphins at your Jets. Not going to watch that one. You know, Dolphins are going to win. Dolphins pulled one out of their butts against the Chargers. Chargers now with two very tough losses to start the season. So we can all jump off that bandwagon, right?
Yeah, that's a pretty typical. I mean, they're going to be very tough to beat. Like, they're not a
there's no chance. The Chargers. They're not making the playoffs. Right. I mean, they're way too behind eight ball. They're 0-2. Everyone else in the division is 2-0. So.
No, they could get to 8-8 somehow, and they still won't get near the
Dolphins. Going to be the Jets,
even from 0-2. No, but they might win the AFC South still. They might be better than the teams in the AFC South. I think the Jets are going to keep it close here. I don't think they're going to be able to really stop Ajayi, but they just have been able to move the ball a little bit surprisingly. Their defense has been way worse than you could have imagined. I have a 24-14 Miami,
a 10-point loss, which is great news for the Jets. All right.
I mean, our biggest competition is Indy and Cleveland right now. I guess maybe San Francisco for the one.
So not the Bears? Because, again, I have the Bears starting the season 0-9 or 0-10, something like that.
I think the Bears have reason to get – the problem is Fox – like, so there's – so when I said, like, the league is bottom heavy, some of these guys are in danger of being fired. Like, Pagano's in huge danger of being fired. Bowles is in danger of being fired. Fox is in major danger of being fired. Like, there's a lot of guys who are you know, so who knows what happens if they have those guys.
All right, well, we mentioned Fox. To me, that's the third worst game of the week. Pittsburgh at Chicago. On the one hand, Pittsburgh struggled in week one on the road against a crappy team in Cleveland, and Chicago at home almost beat Atlanta and probably should have in week one. On the other hand, Chicago looked so bad last week. So to me, this is a boring game because Pittsburgh should win this game by 20.
Yeah, no, Pittsburgh will blow them out.
I mean, the thing about Pittsburgh that impressed me in that Vikings game was their offense didn't do that much. But then again, you know, the Vikings have a very good defense. Xavier Rhodes did a good job against Antonio Brown. What impressed me was their defensive line. I mean, they were just – and again, Case Keenum is garbage, and the Vikings offensive line might be garbage, but they were really battering Case Keenum.
Yeah.
So, bad news for Mike Glennon. Mike Glennon looks like Tamir Goodman. What do you say to that hot take by Ari Gold?
Ooh, Mike Glennon looks like Tamir Goodman. Hold on.
They both have long faces and red hair.
Yeah, he does look like Tamir Goodman. He's a little bolder.
So you are. They
do have a similar.
Glennon is.
Yeah, they're pretty similar looking.
Similar. All right, so Ari Gold, Akiva likes that take. All right, Pittsburgh's winning, obviously. We don't disagree there. No. Another crappy game, the Rams against the 49ers.
I can't believe this game is not like one of the two or three worst games. That's insane. That's the Thursday night game.
It's a victory for Thursday night football. It's a victory that they're the fourth worst game.
Victory for the Jews.
Oh, because it's Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, we don't have to watch this one. Yeah.
Yeah, no, like literally, you know, we would have had to be stuck watching this game. It's great. We won't even know who won till Saturday, you and I.
Yeah, we'll be dipping our apples in our honey and not even caring about this game. All right, so Rams at San Francisco. I mean, so the Rams, you know, obviously week one, that was just a function of playing the Colts. You know, they lose at home to Washington, which I am happy about because that was a call of mine.
But can we talk about how you already spoiled both bets from the podcast in the Facebook group?
Oh, I didn't mean to. I was just typing that. I didn't mean to enter it.
When do you delete it? I mean, it's literally half the podcast.
Whatever.
This is what happened, which is fine. It's just like you may as well just do the podcast in the comment section and like the chat section.
Yeah. No. All right. Okay. Fine. Sorry. I was just typing that to like enter it, and then I forgot.
Type something to enter.
Because right. Because I was keeping track of our picks.
Oh, okay. You were
so I was just typing it into like Facebook.
Okay.
All right, whatever.
Yeah, what's the next game?
Okay, Rams at San Francisco. So San Francisco, you know, they almost beat, you know, Seattle in Seattle, and that was one. I think that was my lock of the week that Seattle would cover that. So that didn't work out.
Yeah, I mean I have Seattle, but they stink.
No, we're talking about the Rams at San Francisco.
I have St. Louis, but they stink. I don't like. I'm not
St. Louis.
I love
the Rams,
coach, but I'm not buying Goff yet.
Okay, so by St. Louis, you mean Los Angeles, correct?
Yeah, what did I say?
Are you listening?
Yeah, I said St. Louis? Okay, all right, fine. The Rams. I'm listening.
Yeah. Okay, all right. I'm going to take the 49ers because I'm not going to watch the game. I don't care, but I want to stay.
What a bad game. We should bet on the ratings of that game.
Yeah, speaking about another bad game, but this one we probably will watch because it's 9:30 in the morning on Sunday for those on the East Coast. Baltimore, Jacksonville. Shad Khan continues to take his team to London, and we just subject people in England to horrible, horrible football games.
Is this game at 9:30, though?
Yeah, it's 9:30 in the morning Eastern.
I mean, there's nothing I want more than 9:30 football, though.
Yeah, but so when I was single, it'd be great because, yeah, you can watch even more football. But now, you know, you have to commit some time to the family. So,
yeah, well, hopefully you'll be single again soon. And then you'll get back to watching 9:30 games. Sunday. Yeah, but
Sunday I'm going to have 15 members of my wife's family in my house.
Why? I mean, that's like, don't do that. Why?
We're hosting
don't you have
15
any say?
People for Rosh Hashanah.
That doesn't even make sense. Like,
her grandparents, her siblings, her cousins, her uncles and aunts.
Why would you do that?
Her like cousins, now, her cousin's the boy, girlfriend.
Oh God!
This is like, why we got a big house with guest room.
No, but that's why you don't get a bit. Like I want to downsize my house, have less family members.
I completely agree with you. When we lived in an apartment in the city, we were in a 3-bedroom apartment. I wanted to move to a 2-bedroom apartment, which was a nicer apartment but had one fewer room. And she said, "Well, where are people going to stay? Where are guests going to stay?" And like she thought she was making an argument against it. She was making an argument for it.
Ridiculous.
I enjoy seeing people. I enjoy seeing my family. But like at the end of the night, they should go somewhere else.
Right. I think people don't understand, like, if you're not Orthodox, you don't understand the idea of, like the people having to stay by your house because, like, we don't drive and, like, on
Well, but all the, actually, like everybody in her family does drive, so that's not an excuse.
Right, but that's sort of why you're having them over. But also, like, it's also a cultural thing. Like, we don't make people stay at hotels, whereas I think, like, in the real world, sometimes people would do that.
Well,
like even if they were billionaires and there was like a Four Seasons next to your house, they would stay at your house.
Oh no, my dad's the opposite. My dad would never stay in our house. My dad stays in a hotel if it's 2 miles away.
Well, that's a Jerry Chester move, but I think most people like culturally.
Yeah, because Jerry likes to be in his own space and you know doesn't want to like open drawers and find someone else's underwear or whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, he wants to open a drawer and find a Gideon's Bible. Yeah. So, but now that I have a house, it's much different. When you're in an apartment, having guests is
how
like
many
death.
Bedrooms do you have?
We have 6.
And you're putting up 15 people? There's still going to be like a lot of people everywhere.
Yeah. So Jen's grandfather, who can't go upstairs, he's staying in like the first floor in a room that's not a bedroom. And then Jen's mom is staying there. I mean, do we really care about this? We discussing this on the podcast, the sleeping
arrangements? No, you don't have to like say where everyone's sleeping. I'm just like pointing out how bad it is. And then your wife has to make 6 formal meals for 15 people, right?
Yeah. I like how you say my wife because you subscribe to those gender rules.
You're cooking? Well, I don't know how to cook, so.
I'm doing part of it. My wife's doing part of it. But to be fair, her family is like they've planned all the rent. We went and like bought like $8,000 worth of groceries at the grocery store at like Costco. But she's like the family is like they're all coming Tuesday night and they're.
Do they pay you back the groceries?
I think actually. I mean, I don't know why we're discussing this on the podcast, but yeah, my father-in-law did say to Jen, save the receipts, which is a nice classy move of his. So we're getting free food then.
Yeah, that is nice. No, because I like. Oh, that's another thing. We have all these people. I was like, well, if it's just us, I don't care. But I don't want to like. Well, especially when because we have a lot of people for.
Yeah, it's not nothing. It's literally going to be over $1,000.
Yeah. No, when we have people for Passover, it's thousands of dollars, and like
you're right because
if I invited them, I would be fine paying for it. But like I didn't invite them; they just show up.
Yeah, Rosh Hashanah is 2 days.
Yeah, or 3 days this time.
Then you have the Sabbath, which is a third day. So yeah, you got 3 formal dinners, 3 you know less formal but sit down lunches,
and
so 6 meals with 15 people.
You just moved to a new neighborhood. You would have been invited out 20 times. For these meals, you could have gotten all 6 meals out. Probably, I mean, maybe you live in a bad neighborhood, but like now, no one's having you over. You have your 15 people.
So nobody's inviting you. I did actually point that out to my wife. Like socially, the holidays are a big time, especially you move to a new community.
It's a big time. You could either have friends or family. This is what I've realized.
Yeah. So we already got like a couple of invites, and we've taken ourselves out of the running for Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
Yom Kippur is not really a socializing time. And then we're going to Israel for the other holidays. So, yeah. So, we're going to be totally gone from the whole holiday window.
That's it. You're not going to have friends. Like, 8 years from now, you're going to be like, why don't we have friends? Like, yeah. Because we had your dumb family.
Yeah. No, you're right. Because we're going to come back from the holidays. We're going to come back from Israel after the holidays. It's going to be, like, late October. And nobody's going to invite us because it's, like,
you're
we missed the window.
You're not going to be new anymore. Yeah. You're not new to the community.
Yeah.
When you're new to the community, people invite you. By the way, it just really happened, though.
So, we've permanently missed the window.
Yeah, we missed the window. Like, people's like feel like, oh, you know, we're not going to invite them. They always have like her dumb, you know, family over, whatever. I'm putting the dumb. No, I'm just kidding. But like you should have thought about it before. All right, what's the next game?
All right, so in England, as we said, Baltimore versus Jacksonville. Taking Baltimore, obviously. All right. And what a cream puff schedule to start for Baltimore. They play Cincy, who we now see is terrible. They play Cleveland, who's terrible.
Yeah, Baltimore's good. Every year there's a 3-0 team that ends up stinking, and it's going to be Baltimore.
Okay. Speaking of Cincinnati, one of the garbage teams that Baltimore's benefited from, they go to Green Bay Some people are saying this could be Andy Dalton's last game as a starting quarterback.
That's insane.
For the Bengals. Is that an overreaction?
No, I mean, it's insane. Like, I mean, fine, bring in AJ McCarron. You go right back to Dalton.
Yeah, AJ McCarron's not the solution to this team.
No, and that team's not bringing Kaepernick, even though a lot of the players are whispering for him behind the scenes. I just want Kaepernick to get signed so we don't have to, like, bring him up when every team has, like, a quarterback issue.
Yeah. So do we want to talk about the Packers, you know, the egg they laid last night, or you just chalked it up to no offensive linemen, no receivers?
No offensive linemen, and, you know, like, Rodgers also got better.
And Jordy Nelson goes out early.
Nelson doesn't catch a pass. Rodgers also played poorly at the beginning of last year.
Well, because, and Cobb also left the game early with injury.
Yeah, I don't lose a lot of sleep over that loss.
All right, so they're still your Super Bowl winning team.
Yeah.
Or 1-5, anyway.
Well, 1-1, they're going to win it.
Yeah. Okay, all right, they're going to beat Cincy. Okay. Still looking for, we got the first disagreement with the Rams at San Francisco Thursday night game. All right, Dallas at Arizona, the traditional Dallas home game in Arizona. Oh, God, I mean, what do you say about Arizona? So week one, they're winning in Detroit in the fourth quarter. They blow it, and people are a little bit disappointed and concerned. Week two, they're playing Jacoby Brissett and possibly the 0-16 Colts, and, I mean, they just embarrassed themselves. I mean, they snuck out a win at the end, obviously, but deeply, deeply embarrassing performance for the Cardinals.
Yeah, no, they should be ashamed. I think...
Is this Carson Palmer's last year in the league?
For sure. I mean, even if they, like, no matter what he does, he doesn't have it anymore.
He doesn't try and be a backup somewhere, Matt Hasselbeck or Warren Moon.
Unless he, like, lost his money to Ponzi scheme. I don't think there's any reason to do that. Like, half these guys have lost money in a Ponzi scheme recently. There's been so many stories.
All right. Meanwhile, Mark Brunell, that happened to him, right?
Sanchez, a lot of people.
Okay. So, how do we explain Dallas then? They, you know, we picked Denver to cover.
Well, this
to cover
is what everyone
win,
does
think,
after
right?
2 weeks. It's like, but, well, they beat them and they beat them, so now we understand. Like, it doesn't always work like that.
So Dallas. So you're not worried about Dallas?
No, no. You know what? Everyone.
I mean, Denver
everyone going
defense.
Up against the Denver defense is going to, like, try and fire their offensive coordinator the next week. Every single team, because Denver defense is great.
Yeah, but my concern wasn't, but what happened to, like, the Cowboys' vaunted offensive line?
Yeah, I don't know. It's definitely been worse. It's definitely been...
Zeke had 9 rushes for 8 yards.
It's definitely been a little bit of a problem this year. But
Yeah.
His previous low was 51, so I think he'll be fine.
Okay, so Dallas goes into Arizona and wins?
Yeah.
I want to find a way to take Arizona.
Yeah, I know. I think it'll be hard. Close, but Dallas wins.
Yeah. I agree with you. All right, Denver at Buffalo. I mean, God, these games are so bad. Well, actually, I don't know. This could be decent. Buffalo's defense... looked good, and Buffalo, by the way, we talked about how Chicago should have won week one against Atlanta. If Zay Jones hauls in that pass, it wasn't a perfect pass, but if Zay Jones hauls in that pass from Tyra Taylor, Buffalo wins in Carolina. All of a sudden, they're 2-0.
Yeah. Yeah, Buffalo's not bad. They're fine. They're not tanking.
All right, so they're not tanking. All right, well, they're underdogs at home against Denver. You thought they would be
By the way, I called that
Buffalo-Carolina
game last week as being awful. And what was the final score?
No scoring. Yes.
Yeah, I said 13-9, so it was a little high, but.
Well, yeah, it would have been 10. By the way, Tyrod Taylor had about as good of a game in fantasy as you can have for a team whose quarterback, because he never turns the ball over and he gets 50 yards rushing, so he still gave you 10 or 11 fantasy points.
Yeah. He sneaks in the 5. He throws 1 touchdown. He always, like, sneaks in. Yeah. I'm kind of sick of him in fantasy, though.
Yeah.
And I'm so down on Cousins.
All right, Denver at Buffalo.
A close game, but Denver wins.
Yeah, I think actually I should have it ranked higher than I do. I feel bad. You have Denver winning. Look, Denver was so dominant last night. That's in my head. So, all right, I'm going to agree with you. I want to disagree, but I'm not. All right, Oakland at Washington. Washington loses at home in week one to Philadelphia. Very disappointing. But they save their season, I really think, flying across and coming back to beat the Rams there. Jared Goff. Well, we skipped over Jared Goff. But do you still think Jared Goff is not an NFL quarterback, or do you think there's a chance he'll be competent?
Notwithstanding
the telegraphed interception to Cooper Kupp, at the end of the game there.
Yeah. I think he's going to be a backup in the NFL.
Yeah. I think he might be able to be a starter. I don't know. Still too soon to see. All right. But we're not talking about him, though. Oakland at Washington. Oakland's really good, obviously. They need in hindsight, I guess their win in week one, Tennessee's even more impressive because we saw Tennessee's actually not terrible. The Jets is obviously just a preseason game.
Yeah, I think that Oakland is really good.
I really want to take Washington.
No,
here.
I'm not taking.
I really want to take Washington.
I think Washington's going to fall apart. Did you see the statement they just put out about Sua Cravens, their second round pick last year?
No,
he like didn't want to play, and they kept bringing him back and forth, and like he's like retired at one point in the offseason. So the statement that they put out is only one team in the league would ever put out this statement. Listen, like the Redskins are basically the Trump of the NFL. Can we agree on that?
Yeah, well, I said this in the preseason. You disagreed with me, but go ahead.
No, I agree now. Here's the statement. Today, the Redskins have officially placed Sua Cravens on the reserve left squad list. In accordance with the NFL Constitution, bylaws, Sua won't be permitted to return to the club for the remainder of 2017, including the playoffs. We sincerely hope, this is their official statement that they tweeted out, we sincerely hope that Sua uses this time away from the club to reflect upon whether or not he'd like to resume his career in the NFL in 2018.
And what's the disagreement about?
It's not clear. I think he maybe wanted to retire, and then he didn't, and he's not sure. He's not happy about something.
I mean, that's, you know, I've seen worse.
Yeah. But Raiders going to win by 10.
I really want to disagree with you. You know what? Let's do it.
Taking the Redskins.
I'm taking Washington. I don't know why.
Wow.
Probably not a good idea.
Don't. Think. There's just something wrong with the team this year.
Yeah, I thought Oakland was a regression candidate. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. All right. We need to have some disagreements. So I'm taking Washington. That'll be a decent Sunday night game. Well, I'll be breaking my fast.
By the way, did you see the worst take of all? Do you know Brick McHenry, the ESPN reporter?
Yeah.
Fired?
The woman. Yeah.
Did you see her awful take this week?
I mean, she has awful takes every week. But
every week. She's like in 3 weeks, she's gone from like an ESPN reporter to like poor man's Tommy Lahren.
She was already that.
Like,
she had that thing where she like berated that poor woman once.
Okay, but fine.
No, but she's always been like a hot take artist. She's always been like auditioning for Fox News.
That's a hot take artist to like say to tell some like parking lot lady that she's ugly. That's a hot take.
All right, just tell me what she did. What's her hot take that I missed?
So she tweeted like, because people were like, Trump should stick to sports. He shouldn't talk about ESPN's ratings. And she's like, someone else, didn't stick to sports and posted a picture of Obama filling out.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Like one of the worst tweets I've ever seen. I mean, the ratio was really bad. You know the ratio stuff, right?
Yeah, I heard about the ratio,
3,000 comments.
By the way, the article on Deadspin written by a member of, as you like to call it, the Dirtbag Left, some of their examples are really bad because if a tweet is asking a question.
I don't know what article. What are you talking about?
There was an article explaining the ratio on Deadspin.
Okay.
And they gave a couple of examples of people who are not, who are right of Deadspin, which means, they're right of Mao, but they're not like Trump supporters for sure. And a couple of them were like what was it? What was the name of that? He's sort of a neocon, right? I forget his name, a foreign policy guy. Anyways, he was literally asking. He was asking a question. The tweet was literally asking a question. And so they're making fun of the fact that it had 200 comments and only like 14 retweets. Well, of course, because he's asking a question.
Oh, right.
If your tweet is a question, not a rhetorical question, a legitimate question, hey, does anybody out there know why this?
Right.
Then,
of course,
you get more
sure.
comments than. Yeah. So that was a terrible example by whoever wrote that article for Deadspin. All right.
Right. Oh, here. Yeah. I see 17,600. That's a real issue.
Oh, that's what what's her name got? Britt McHenry?
No. I'm just on that article. And that's not a Dirtbag Left guy. That's David Roth.
But scroll down. Do you see the example I'm talking about in that? There's a tweet.
Yeah. I know exactly. I know what you're talking about. I know what you're referring to.
Yeah. Well, what's the writer's name? What's the writer's name? It's in my head now.
Oh, the guy who asked the question in that article.
You're looking at it. This is really podcasting. I think I've said that three times.
Yeah, this is great.
Okay, whatever. You can't find it. All right, Kansas City at the Chargers. Kansas City looked really good again.
Eli Lake.
Oh, yeah. Ellie, whatever it is. Yeah.
He literally started with question for anti-war.
Yeah, he was asking a legitimate question.
You're going to have a bad
reaction. Yeah, he wasn't trolling. He was asking a question. So
I do like the his three true outcomes thing, that it was 198, 34, 83. Yeah. Anyway, what's the game?
Kansas City at the Chargers. Chargers going to fall to 0-3. I think the Chargers have to win.
It's going to be a really good game.
Chargers have to win this game.
24-23 KC. Koo misses another field goal with no time left.
Yeah, Bill Simmons won't stop apologizing for him. But like, let's remember, like, he was not expected to win the job, and maybe there's a reason for that. I hate to say it, but I got nothing against him, obviously. Yeah, I have the Chargers winning this game. I just think, third time's a charm. They've had some bad luck the first two games. All right, maybe I have this game too high. Atlanta at Detroit. Who knows from Detroit? We've only seen them one game so far. Atlanta looked really impressive. Atlanta's going to go into Detroit and win, obviously, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to see what Detroit does tonight.
Detroit looks really good against the Giants. I reserve the right to switch my pick on that one.
I agree. I might even pick them if Detroit like really looks good tonight. Right now, I'll say the Falcons by a touchdown.
All right. New Orleans at Carolina. you know, I only have this high because, you know, divisional opponents, they New Orleans has an offense, so it can keep things interesting. Carolina's defenses look great through 2 weeks, but their offenses look really, really bad. Right? There's nothing better to get your offense going than facing
them. He's just really inaccurate. I don't like Kelvin Benjamin. Yeah, I agree.
So, if Cam Newton can't, score two or three touchdowns against the Saints, it's really bad news. They're out without Greg Olsen now on offense.
By the way, Sean Payton, when you look at the 0-2 teams, there's 8-0-2 teams, and the Giants could become 0-2 also tonight.
Yeah.
But most of them are the expected teams, right? The Jets, the Browns, the 49ers.
But hold on, the Saints were pretty big underdogs in both their games. They were expected to be 0-2.
Right. Right. It's not like they have horrible losses, but listen, they could lose this game too. And at a certain point, Peyton's also going to be on the chopping block.
Well, that's sort of why, in the preseason, I remember I asked you for wins pool. I didn't want to take the Saints because I thought their schedule, I think they're going to start 1-5 just because of their schedule. And at that point, who knows what happens? Does Peyton finish out the season?
Mm-hmm.
We both have Carolina winning here. All right, we got to find at least a third disagreement. Okay, we got four games left. Houston at New England. This game I had high because I thought that the playoff game was actually surprisingly close last year. And, I want to see Houston's defense. The Saints obviously had no defense, but we saw what a good defense can do to the Patriots in week one. So I want to see what Houston can do. Obviously, the Patriots are going to win this game, but I thought the spread was way too high. It's 13. You and I both thought it would be in single digits, the spread.
Yeah, way too high. I mean, the Patriots kind of do own Houston. So, I'm obviously picking the Patriots to win.
And I know, let's be honest. Like, Deshaun Watson, everybody celebrating, he had one good play against Cincy, and it was a phenomenal play. But the other 59 minutes of that game, he did not look good.
Yeah, I don't think he's good right now. I do think he will be good.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm probably too high on this game. All right, we both have New England. The next game, I'm definitely too high on. I ranked it when I thought Sam Bradford was playing, in which it was going to be a really good game. Case Keenum at home against Tampa Bay. If Case Keenum's playing, I'm picking Tampa Bay. But if Bradford's playing, I'm
taking
Minnesota.
Yeah, this game should be much lower also. If Keenum's playing, this is not like...
If Keenum's playing, it's terrible. Yeah, Keenum's unwatchable.
So the Bucks, no matter what. I like
You're picking
here.
The Bucks even if Bradford's playing?
Yeah, because I don't think he'll be healthy.
Well, I mean, they're only going to play him if he's healthy. I think that's the point. They're not taking any risks with him.
Right. But. Yeah, well, I said before he's not going to play, so I'll be consistent and pick
them. All right. Well, I will say this. Last year when the Vikings started 0-5-0, you picked them to lose all five games. And this year you've picked the Vikings to lose all three games so far. So you're only 1-1.
Okay.
So better than last time. All right. I really have nothing to say unless Bradford's back. All right. Seattle at Tennessee. Interesting game. I think two playoff teams, quite possibly. I think Tennessee has to be the favorite to win that division right now.
This is a very good game. Yeah. This is a really interesting game. A lot of field goals. There's going to be a lot of field goals in this game. I'm telling you now. It's a lot of bend but don't break defense. 19-16 Tennessee.
I mean, Oakland went into Tennessee and spanked them pretty badly. Seattle's offense has really looked bad so far. I don't know. Last year they started slow. Even the year before they started slow. But then they got going. So why does it take, Russell Wilson and company? Why are they bad in September and October? I don't know what the answer is.
I don't know. It's weird. It's weird that they
thought Seattle was gonna be favored, by the way.
And it's weird that they don't have a SEC level offensive line every year.
Should I disagree with you here? Tennessee winning it. I don't buy Tennessee. I'm sorry. Sorry, Johnny DeSilver. I'm gonna take Seattle here. So that's our fourth disagreement of the day. I'm gonna take Seattle to win on the road. And the fifth disagreement, maybe. Giants at Philly. I don't know why I have this as the best game of the week. I don't know what I was thinking when I made this rankings.
Yeah, no, this is not a great game. I don't know what you're doing.
I mean, this is what the national media does when they hype up any game in the NFC East.
Yeah, no, this is not.
Yeah, I don't know what I did here. Maybe I just got tired and forgot to rank this one, and so it's just left last. That's entirely possible. Giants at Philly. Philly has looked pretty good. Giants, who knows? We'll have more to say after tonight's game, but this podcast is going up before that. I'll take Philly because they're at home and because, just to be safe. Because Eli Manning might, I think Bill Simmons said on his podcast, it's actually a valid point. If Eli Manning hadn't won two Super Bowls, people would be talking about him the way they talk about Carson Palmer. Like, all right, it's time to bench this guy.
No one's benching Eli. 538 just put a big thing out today that was like, Eli's the most mediocre guy in the league.
Yeah. Well, that's been my take for years. He said.
Well, you think he's below average at this point. You don't think he's mediocre.
In my quarterback rankings, I think I have him at about 19 or so, something like that.
Okay.
He's better than Jay Cutler.
Mm-hmm.
But when healthy, he's worse than Sam Bradford for sure. When healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd rather Eli on my team than Sam Bradford right now, just because Sam Bradford doesn't have any knees or any cartilage. All he has is bones, I guess. But all right, so we're both taking Philly in this game, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So this was an episode, as I say, after our mediocre episode.
No, this was a good one. This was, you know, other than the dead air and the...
Well, and the problem, really it's tough we're doing these on Monday because it's before all the games have been played. We can't give the updates to the 32 Fans Fantasy League, which I know people have been asking for. So
No one was asking for it. But, oh, wait, did you read the... Since we talked a little current events during this episode, maybe we'll do that more this season. Did you read the, like, lady who couldn't get into Harvard who killed her kid article?
So my wife... Well, spoiler alert.
What's a spoiler alert?
That's like the article is set up in a way that you don't find that out to the very, very end.
Oh, I read a different article then. I read an article, maybe a separate one. Where
did you read an article about the article? Did you read the article in the New York Times? Or did you read a
Yeah, I.
Oh, okay.
Maybe there was like a follow up about. Maybe there was a follow up like from.
Well,
Harvard.
Okay. So to be honest, I didn't actually read the article because what happened is my wife gave me like a 20-minute.
Are you sure? Because the one I read, it starts off with...
Oh, okay. So my wife gave... Okay, so maybe my wife is just a better storyteller than the author. Because my wife gave me like a detailed 20-minute play-by-play of this entire article. And she set up the whole thing about her redemptive story. And then at the very end, she says, you find out what she actually did. And so the whole point is the whole time you're reading this and you're totally on her side, and then you find out what she did, and then all of a sudden like the conflict comes into play.
So maybe I'm...
But I don't know.
Maybe I read like the Marshall Project one, not the New York Times one, because it says murder her son in the first line.
Oh, okay, yeah. So then my wife asked me, she's like, well, did you read it like the next day? And I'm like, well, I can't really read it because the sixth sense to me. You told me the whole thing. I found out the...
No, but that's not the... That's, see, but I didn't...
So you didn't even see it. Okay, well, either way. So I heard about the article in great detail, but I did not read it.
And what was Jen's take, Dr. Jen's take?
Well, it's kind of like what I just said. You're reading this article, and you're seeing somebody who came from extraordinarily unfortunate circumstances, was effectively raped as a child, basically, and had this child, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, had no education, had no access to anything, and despite all that, has an incredible, you know, comeback in life, effectively. But in prison, a place that is not in America by and large, a place where people really do get rehabilitated. People, especially people who are convicted of capital crimes like that. And then sort of miraculously, she becomes like a PhD candidate at Ivy League schools, and she's like, you know, a really impressive self-made person. Yeah, and then we find out what she did when she was 20 years old, which is like deeply, deeply cruel, even for somebody who was personally abused herself. Like, I mean, that's like really, really awful what she did and how she did it. So.
Well, part of it is that there's so much mystery behind what happened, even.
Well, so, okay, so again.
The body, they've never found the body of she killed a kid. I think she left the kid at home for like a week, and he just died because he was really
so
young.
What Jen told me, I think she had the kid when she was 16, and she was 20 when she
never, They've never found the body.
Oh, okay.
It's not like super clear what happened. It's not like she's very repentant.
Well, so reading the article would have helped. What Jen told me is that she intentionally starved her own child to death.
By leaving the house and maybe with no food or something, I don't know. But yeah, it seems like it.
So, but was that an act? Was that intentional, or was that just grossly irresponsible? Because again, she was 20 years old and wasn't. She was pissed at the kid, maybe. But the part. So to me, what it turns on, and again, not having read the article, I don't know. Although I'm opining on it, is her perspective now, 20 years later, now with the benefit of education and sociological studies and everything else, is her position, I deeply regret the horrible fucked up thing that I did, acknowledging the reality of my circumstances that led me to do that? Or is her position, because if that's the case, I think I can forgive her and support her. Or is her position, which I thought Jen said it was, kind of like she still won't really acknowledge what she did. And I said to Jen, I'm like, well, you can't really get paroled if you don't express... You and Jen says, "Well, I think she expressed remorse for her daughter, for her kid dying, but she didn't express remorse for."
Yeah, but no, I think she's like such a superstar in jail that they like really want to parole. They paroled her even an extra 2 months early so she could start.
Yeah, so she could. Yeah, yeah, so. But again, like so, and again, I should probably read this article to find out for myself. But you, from what you read, does it sound like she feels really bad for what she did and she's disgusted, or she won't really discuss it?
No, it sounds like it's off topic, basically.
Yeah, so then I don't really feel like I can, you know. I don't know.
Right. And nobody has a right to, like, go to Harvard.
Yeah, well, so Harvard didn't accept her, right? She's going to NYU or something.
Harvard didn't accept her for... Harvard, I think, accepted her and then said no.
Harvard Yale accepts didn't everybody. Accept her. They take Sean Spicer, so...
Yeah. They took Cole Chesty.
They took me.
Here.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. But I don't know. This was too heavy to bring up. I sort of forgot how, like, how heavy it goes. But
yeah, like dead children. Like, this is how we end our podcast today.
Yeah. All right. So let's. So we start with WNBA and we ended with dead children. People are gonna be mad.
All right. We're not editing this out. We're leaving it all in.
We'll leave it in. But let's end on a more positive note. What do you you know? And in the middle we had the nightmare of you having 15 family members come over.
So which is really the worst thing that happened in this podcast?
Are you like the I'm gonna like stay in my room the whole time because I have 15 family members over?
No, then I'd become like persona non grata in her family. You can't do that.
I mean, I hear, but also like
you gotta be like the social coordinator.
That's awful. This is, and are there kids? Are they bringing kids, or you have the only kids?
We have the only kids under like 10.
No, okay, so that's not that bad.
It's there's like there's like yeah, there's like college age people.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's not kids even. Those are grown ups.
Yeah, we have the only kids.
All right, that sounds awful. I hope you have. It can't be higher than a D minus, but I hope you have a D minus time this weekend.
Thank you. To you as well. Happy New Year.
All right. Bye.
I'm getting